worship the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. So let the musicians hang their seats. Amen. It's good to be with you today. Still with my wife. Seems like it's been 2 months since I've been in service. Been behind the pulpit, but just want to echo Brother Daniel's comments there at the beginning of service. I want to thank everyone who was came out for their post of duty, and then those who did more than their post of duty. I just want to thank each one, Brother Jordan, Brother Matthew, the different ones, Brother Elijah, for just taking their part in the service. I know that it puts you out of your comfort zone, but being in the service of the Lord does that to you, you know. But I will say this, that if the Lord tarries and he, you know, takes me home, takes Brother Daniel home, takes Brother Tim home, then somebody's got to move on. And so this would be good practice for you. But I just want to officially thank each one of you for what you did, and you did a great job. Amen. Amen. I was thoroughly blessed by knowing that if something happened to us, the church would go on. Amen. Amen. So I commend you for that. It's just wonderful. And we had a good time. Appreciate the time of rest and fellowship. It was really good. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Let's start reading at verse 7. The scripture says that there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if thou wilt take the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all of the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And they, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, I will give it. To thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be also numbered. Arise and walk through the land, and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord. And then I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is scripture we read the other day. I'll read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, starting there. And be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then one more scripture, if you turn to it there in St. John chapter 4, verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just want to thank you for another grand opportunity, Lord, to be with your people today. And Lord, to assemble in your house and to just dedicate this time and ourselves to you, Lord, that you would be able to speak to us. And Lord, you'd do a work in our lives that would cause us to be able to express you to this generation. We love you, Lord, and we are asking that you take this service into your hands. And Lord, that you just walk up and down the aisles and you would speak to every heart, every person, Lord. May they go away today and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We can't do these things in ourselves, Lord, but we position ourselves according to your call, according to your gifts. And Lord, we know that you will work through these things, these avenues that you provided. So we just give it to you now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We'll title this today, The Called Out. The Called Out, and I'll just do a little subtitle, Stepping Stones. And I'd like to take these two different thoughts and bring them together, if the Lord will permit, just to, as we go through this. So we know that the word church means called out. Amen? It means called out. And by the way, the scripture I read in Genesis comes from, is the same scripture that Brother Branham read when he had a sermon called God's Word Calls for a Total Separation from Unbelief. And so the part of my thought this morning and the things I will say was coming from that. And so the word church means called out, separated. Amen? And I know we've said this and talked about it before, and I tell people, you know, how is it that a life of sin, you know, the things that made us sinners in the first place, how is it that God would tell you that he can forgive you of those things, but then tell you it's okay to go right back to him again? It doesn't make sense to me. You know, even the kingdom of heaven, we know we accept things by faith and so forth. But, you know, there is a spiritual understanding that has to make sense, right? Things have to make sense spiritually. And it just doesn't make sense to me that God would tell you that he can forgive you of your past, but tell you you can continue to live on those. What kind of God would do that? But we know that he hasn't done that. He has provided a way so that when he forgives you of your past, he gives you and equips you with the ability to move forward so that you don't live the same way and you live in a state of righteousness with him. And so the world has perverted that. We use the phrase greasy grace, right? We've heard that. There is grace. There's abundant grace. There's grace more than you could ever imagine. But it's not greasy grace. Amen? And so we are the called out. We are separated. And so we realize that we must separate from our past. Now, our past is not just the actions. Because remember, sin is unbelief.
Right, yeah.
Smoking and drinking and all those things, those are attributes because you don't believe. Right? And so when we talk about that, we kind of can interchange them. So when I talk about we have got to separate from our past, it's not just the actions of smoking, drinking, carousing, whatever it is, not just the actions of it, but the anointing that went with that to cause that, the unbelief that caused that kind of lifestyle.
Right.
We have to separate from that.
Yeah.
Amen? And so we want to talk about this morning. Brother Graham tells us, we know in the scriptures there's something referred to as a Nazarite vow. Right? A Nazarite, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, I've always thought that was interesting, you know, because he was a Nazarite. But in the Bible, a Nazarite is when a person takes a Nazarite vow, they separate themselves unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And when they separate themselves to the Lord, they have to pull back away from things that everybody else gets to enjoy or be a part of.
Yeah.
And so as a Nazarite, when you had a Nazarite vow, we know Samson was a Nazarite. We know the high priest was a Nazarite. Jesus was a Nazarite. Paul was a Nazarite. Any person that God will take and separate and pull to the side for himself is a Nazarite. And that means that they cannot be partakers of certain things. Right? So there's a distinct mark on their life that shows they're different.
Yeah.
They're different than everybody else because they have been separated or called aside with a Nazarite vow. And so because you're different, because God calls you to be different, he calls you out of the world, away from the things
that you used to do, then it naturally brings criticism and it naturally brings persecution. And I will remind you, the scripture says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution because you're not part of the world anymore. Amen? If true Christianity is working in your life, you have separated from your past. Right? And that's the goal. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life to a full measure. And if that really happens in your life, there are things in your past that you're walking away from and you're separating from. And people will be able to see that you're different. There's no question about that. And so it will bring criticism and it will bring persecution. But here's what Brother Branham said about criticism. He said, if you receive criticism on the account of the word, right? He said, then that's nothing but growing pains of grace. You know that when you're in the natural, when you're a child and you begin to grow, you know, you have something called growing pains, right? Yeah. I mean, he remembers that as a kid growing up, growing pains. And so you have that because God, it's all in God's creation, so you can understand that when you grow in whatever it is, there are pains that come with that growth. Yeah. That has to be there. Right. You have to have pains, or if you're not, you're not growing. Right? And so no matter what you're talking about, if it's your spiritual walk, then there is growing pains of growth in your spiritual walk. And so Brother Graham says that if your life is such a way, and I'm using my word, but you go listen to it, that if your life is in such a way that you have separated from the past, you've entered into a Nazarite vow with God, and God's really changing you, then the proof of that change is the fact that you're going to receive criticism and persecution. You're going to have opposition. Satan's going to be putting his bullseye on you and doing everything he can. And that's an indication that you're growing. That's an indication that you're gaining ground with God. Is there anybody in here that don't want to gain ground with God? We want to gain ground. We want to be stronger in the Lord. Amen. And so, this growing pains of his grace. And I want to say this, that God knows those that are his. And long before you ever give your heart to the Lord, long before you was ever thinking about God, God knew you was his, and he was already working in your life, and you were already enduring things and suffering things and experiencing things. And every one of those things God will use and has been using and will use to advance you in his kingdom the way he wants to. And so you have to remember that. Everything you've ever suffered or experienced, God uses that. Amen? Yeah. He does. So you realize that as God, in a new real experience with the Lord, that he wants you to be a Nazarite, he wants you to move into a life, into things, then you realize that whatever God is that he wants you to do, Brother Bram tells us that God don't just say something like we do. There's a reason. There's a reason why he says it. The reason why God does things. And so when God says, here's the pathway for you to walk in this end time, here's how you'll overcome in Laodicea, there it is. Brothers, sisters, that's the only way. Yeah. When he gives it, it's for a purpose. There's no other route, no other channel. There's no other way to overcome except the pathway that he's given us. That's it. And then it's up to us whether we take that choice or not to choose to walk in what he's given us. And so we realize that whatever God has called for us to walk in, no matter what that is, then you know Satan has an anointing to try and keep you from being able to see that way, to walk in that way, to move into that way. Everything that Satan can do to anoint a society and to anoint you so that you just can't quite do what God needs you to do in order for you to be victorious today. And so he does that to make it hard for you to see what God's way is and to obey it and to step into those things. And so we realize, and the scripture tells us that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who's called him to be a soldier. And I've said it many times in the past, when you're out on the battlefield, you can't be packing around a cooler or a refrigerator or you know, the things of this life slow you down, it makes you not a very good soldier. Matter of fact, it's going to get you killed, right? And so Paul was telling this, you know, that no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. If you want to be a good soldier for the Lord, if you want to gain ground with God, you've got to walk away from this life and things in this life that slow you down. And Satan is a master at putting so much out there to slow you down. You know, I know there's a lot of people probably within the sound of my voice in this room right now. And they have good intentions. They want to serve God. But they make a very bad mistake in as they keep themselves filled up with other things so God can't get in.
That's right.
That's right. And when I stand here and say things like that, I say that by experience. That I, because I know, there's one thing about it, when a man has walked a walk and he's experienced, he knows what he's talking about. And then he can tell those who haven't walked that pathway, hey, be careful because this is what you're going to run into. But there's that element where that everybody has to walk that. Everybody has to walk and make their mistakes and hopefully learn from them. And so we remember from the scriptures that our warfare is not carnal. We might battle all kinds of habits, and, you know, and I say this, you know, because people online hear this and everything. You might have the habits of drinking, smoking, pornography, whatever it might be. You might have those attributes of sin in your life, okay? But the battle is not carnal. If you want to overcome those physical things in your life, the battle is not carnal, it's spiritual.
That's right.
Because if you take the spirit out of a dog, the dog is dead.
Right.
You take the spirit out of a man, the man is dead.
Yeah.
So you take the spirit that's motivating people to be what they are, take that out, and they die. And you can't do that yourself.
Right.
And as long as you have that spirit upon you, you can't stop doing those things that you're because the anointing is there.
Right?
So you need help. And so it's not a physical thing that you need to be fighting. The physical thing only falls what's in the spirit. And so we realize that no matter how much we say amen in this room right here, no matter who's preaching and what's being preached and what topic it is, and no matter how much you say, that's right, Brother Tony, that's right, Brother Daniel, amen, that's right. No matter how much you say that in here, it does no good if when you go out there and the rubbers meet the road, that you fail to live, to have what it takes to live what you say amen to in here.
Right?
Right? It has to translate into a life lived.
Amen.
Right? Because if it's not there, then the spirit of that victory is not in your life. See? So you gotta have that spiritual victory in your life, and then everything else will take care of itself. But we spend all our time fighting the physical, fighting the outward, and not spending time on the spiritual, because that's where the victory comes.
Right.
Even Jesus, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, had a desire, had his own will, but he had to overcome that will. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And the victory was won right there in that garden before he ever carried that cross and was ever nailed to it. He won that victory right there, because he overcame his own will right there in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Amen.
And so we've got to be able to go out and live what we say amen to.
Amen.
Today, it is not an issue of knowing what's truth and not knowing what's true, because we know what truth is now. God has given us what we need.
Yeah.
All right, so it's not that we're walking in darkness and don't know. We've got access to what it takes to have an overcoming life in Laodicea in this day. So we do know. But what it is to put that truth into action, the truth that we've been given, to be able to put that into action in our lives. It doesn't, you know, you can say amen, Brother Tony, when you preach about music, certain music, and you shouldn't listen to that kind of music. And say, amen, Brother Tony, but when you go out here and in daily life, and the opportunity presents itself, and you submit yourself to it anyway, what good does that do?
Right.
See, it has to, something has to happen where what's going on and being said here and the amens here has got to go out there to where it becomes a dynamic thing in your life that when you're faced with these things, you can overcome it. Not just say, amen, that's right, I wish I could, he's right. No, it's got to translate into victory.
Amen.
Our flesh has to change someday.
Right.
We can't just say, praise God, I believe in the rapture. Praise God, I believe in the rapture. Someday, the molecules have to change.
Right?
Right? And that comes from a spiritual walk, something that takes place spiritually.
Right.
It'll follow itself. And so, if God sends us a way to overcome in this day, then to make us ready, to set us free from the things that are here today, then there has to be a fruit in our lives that shows that we're being made free and we're being made ready. I mean, there has to be something that shows this.
Right?
Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. And I want to remind you that God will not. You ready? He will not cross over your free choice. He won't do it. There are portions of your life that he will not touch until you surrender it to him.
That's right.
You may say, oh God, give me victory, make me an overcomer. And God is saying, I've done that, but you've got to accept it and allocate it in your life. You have to accept that. And that victory will never take place in your life until you do accept it. Remember, brother, I'm talking about, he said, you cannot, when that chicken is pecking its way out of the egg, you cannot help him because you'll kill him.
That's right.
It takes that struggle. It takes that struggle to live, to make him come alive and be strong. It is survival of the fittest. We know that in the natural. Well, guess what? It's that way in the spiritual. Life is not made to be easy. Life is to be a struggle. It is a struggle. Brother Graham tells us in this sermon called The World is Falling Apart. He says, he's talking about the falling, everything in the world falling apart. And he says, our political world, man-made systems and fashions, we want everything so we can just take it easy and retire and take life easy. Life wasn't intended to be easy. Life is a struggle. Anything that's got a life is struggling.
That's right.
Look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at everything that's got life. It's a struggle. Listen. And when we try to get some kind of a system that takes it easy, then we're wrong, and we know there's something wrong. You can't bypass the pain, the growing pains. You can't bypass the struggle.
Right.
If you bypass the pain, bypass the struggle, you're not living, you're not growing, you're not advancing. But we, I have this and I have that. Wake up.
Uh-huh.
Hello. That's the struggle. Uh-huh. Meet it running head on.
Yeah.
Become an overcomer to these things. This opposition you have in your life, be an overcomer to it.
Yeah.
Use it and make it into stepping stones.
Yes.
Not something that just beats you down and, I'll never be. No, use those. I don't care what comes your way. Use that as stepping stones. You are called out, and all this opposition that comes, use it as stepping stones.
Amen.
To step higher in the Lord and just walk your way right up into his kingdom.
Yes.
That's what we need to do. But there's portions of your life that God will not. He will not walk over. He'll bless you. He'll call you. He'll have people in your life. But it comes down to a decision. You've got to make a decision one day. I'm going to stop this nonsense that I've been living, and I'm going to give myself to God.
Amen.
You have to do that.
That's right.
And you may not be way off down here like it sounds, like a sinner that's never repented. You may be pretty high in the Lord, walk with him for many years, but there's something in your life that this applies to. Okay? So just take it for what I'm saying. And so you have to make that decision. One of the saddest things I've seen in life is to see somebody that's gifted and they have access to everything they need to survive and to succeed, and they won't do it. And you can't do it for them. And you can please, and you do plead and talk to them and say, come on. But if they won't pick up the initiative themselves, they'll never go any further because they have to do it themselves. God can put all the help around you that you need, and he has. But if you don't make the choice to receive that help and enter into the fellowship of that help that he has given you, you can't go any higher. And so, we live in a day where people are losing the fight. And let me clarify that. I don't mean they're out here fighting and they've lost. I'm talking about they're losing the fight. That's in the thing that's in them that should fight.
Yeah.
They're losing that. They've been beat down so much with this modern society, with all the things that Satan has, and they've got so beat down that they have no hope left. Mm-hmm. They feel hopeless.
Yeah.
They look at everything that's going on and they're like, where's a way out for me? Where's a future for me?
Yeah.
That's Satan's design.
That's right.
To take the fight out of you.
That's right.
But listen, you've got to fight down in you.
Amen.
You just have to wake it up. That's you have right. to quit piling stuff on top of it.
That's right.
You got to quit feeding on the things and keep it beat down. Start feeding on the things that remind you that you belong to God.
Amen.
That's what you have to do. Because they've lost their desire and the know-how to get back up and fight when life throws them down. Today you see people, they just lay down. Something bad happens and that's it. The rest of their life is ruined because one little thing happened. And we look at that and go, the world wasn't won with stuff like that.
That's right.
Calvary wasn't won by laying down, boo-hooing. Because they didn't accept you as Messiah, accept him as Messiah. Someone posted something I think I seen a day or two ago. You might have seen it. Story about an animal that fell down in a well. Did anybody see that? Brother Daniel did. This animal falls down in the well. And the farmer, he's like trying to pull, you know, let's just get my animal out of there, my donkey, mule, whatever it was. And, you know, well, farmer says he's old. He's going to die soon, sometime, anytime. Anyways, and let's just, we'd have to bury him when he died, so let's just use this well as a grave, and let's just go ahead and bury him. So they all start throwing the dirt in on top of this animal. Well, you know what, the animal, he wants out.
Yeah.
Whatever his noise is, going, you know. And what are you doing? You're throwing all this dirt on me. You're trying to kill me. You're trying to bury me. You're trying to get rid of me.
Yeah.
So what life does, right? There's so many avenues out there that Satan throws at you, and the whole thing is to take you down. This animal's laying there like that, and he's all, you know, and they just keep throwing it. And after a while, he quits bellowing. And they're throwing the dirt in there, and they're like, wonder why he quit bellowing. And they look down in there. And every time they'd throw a pile of dirt on him, that dirt would fall on his back. He'd shake it off and stomp on it.
That's right.
And they'd shake it off and stomp on it. And you know what happened? Every time it did, he just built higher and higher. All that dirt that we carried him with, he would just shake it off and stomp on it, and it built him higher.
That's right.
And next thing you know, he was out of the well. Yeah. That's life. That's life. You know, it's interesting. I've said, God speaks, and when he gets a channel, I don't care where you look, he'll feed you things through that channel. Just like that post. It's like, yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Goes right there. Because that's the way it is. But most people now, they've lost the fight. The desire to fight and to overcome. The desire to, I'll just, whatever Satan gives me, and I'll just wallow in misery all my life. But that mule didn't do that. A donkey, whatever it was. Everything that came him, he just shook it off and used that as a stepping stone to get higher and higher and higher until he was out of the desperate situation he was in. And so, every one of us gets slapped in the face pretty much almost on a daily basis with things that's not good or we don't like, that makes us feel bad. Every one of us do. Jesus did.
Right?
He was slapped with things. What did he do with it? Amen? You say, Brother Tony, my life stinks. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. How did it get that way? Why does it stink? So, have you always done that which is right? Have you always done everything right? You never have disobeyed God. You've never disobeyed your parents. You've never disobeyed the laws of the land. You've never went against your own conscience. Can anybody say, I've never done those things? Oh, okay. So, then you are guilty. You are responsible. And an overcomer will take those and will blame others. Will not blame others. An overcomer will not blame others. Overcomers will accept that responsibility themselves. But others who are weak, lay down, they'll blame, I'm this way because. Because so and so. But are you an overcomer? Because the only way, the best way to be victorious is for you to admit your mistakes. I was telling a man, he's all died a terrible death, gone on now. I feel sorry for him. But he was telling me one time, he said, inviting me to church, he said, well, you know, I could come to church. He said, but the thing about it is, I'd be sitting in church and that hypocrite would be sitting next to me. And you know what? God will never ask you about the hypocrite sitting next to you.
That's right.
God will ask you about what you've done with what I gave you and the resources that was all around you, me calling out for your friends and family and church and pastor and trying to get you to say, I'm a son of God.
Yes.
What did you do with that? That's what you'll answer for.
That's right.
And so you have to admit your mistakes and don't say, well, it's his fault that I did this. No, it's your fault. Because things in life do not define you.
That's right.
Opposition that comes your way does not define you.
No.
What defines you is how you respond to
it. That's right.
When you get slapped almost on a daily basis, you choose to lose your temper.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to do that.
Right.
Yeah? You understand? You choose to take that cigarette or that drink or whatever it is that first time. Nobody made you. You choose to do that in a weak moment, through peer pressure, through whatever it is. You choose to click on that thing you shouldn't click on or whatever. Say that gossip that you shouldn't say. So you have to admit it's your mistake and take responsibility for what you've done. You have to recognize your responsibility to God. You are responsible to Him. He brought you here. He gives you the breath that you take every moment. And if He wanted to take it away, He could. We are responsible to Him. That's why people don't want God preached in crosses beside the road and everything, because it reminds them that they are responsible to their Creator. And they have to answer to Him. The best thing you can do is recognize, hey, it's me. I'm the one standing in your prayer. I'm the one that sinned. Right? Like Billy Paul said when he sinned and then got sick. And his brother Branham came to him and he said, Daddy, pray. He said, no, you did the sinning. You do the praying.
That's
right. See, I'm trying to get to you this morning for you to understand that wherever you are in your walk, there's something you've got to do there to unleash the promise of God in your life to give you that victory.
Amen.
If you don't do that, you won't grow. You'll stay right there where you're at. So you have to recognize this and repent of those things, give it to God, and then everything that life sends you, whether it's good or bad, you use it for stepping stones.
Amen.
You say, somebody gave me $1,000. Use it for a stepping stone. Right? Somebody stole my car. Use it as a stepping stone.
Right?
Right? Things that happen to you do not define you. It's how you respond. How you respond in that time where Satan is always there to say, here's an answer to your problem. Here's an answer to whatever happened to you. Let me provide a cheap imitation for you to help you in this time of trouble or whatever's happened to you. Satan's always there with his version of the fix, something to fix your problem. But the problem is that when Satan is offering you something to fix your situation, and it'll appeal to you, it'll look more, much more glorious than the gospel. But while you're taking that avenue he's given you to relieve your problems, he's destroying you one day at a time, isn't it? There's always death, in what Satan offers. You may think, oh, and here's the thing about it is, when someone becomes desensitized, they don't realize the death that's taking its toll on them until it's way down the line. Just like eating too much, getting fat, happens over time.
Yeah.
Smoking happens over time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize it until all of a sudden one day you don't have what you need to have. And then you realize it's been all these years that this has built up in me.
Yeah.
And so take everything that life sends you, good and bad, whatever it is, and make stepping stones out of it. You can never be happy in life living a selfish life. There are people out there, and I, you can say, well, I know there's millionaires out there and they're happy. No, they're not.
Right.
True peace, true joy does not come from that realm.
Right.
True peace and true joy comes from a realm that God provides. And so you may be loaded. You may be a billionaire, but you'll never be happy with the kind of happiness that only comes from God. Those people are worried sick half the time, or
That's
right. So every one of you have weaknesses. Every one of us. But I'm going to tell you something else. Every one of you have strengths. It's no sense in trying to hide it. You have weaknesses, but don't try to hide it. You've got strengths. And those strengths aren't for you. They're for somebody else. And somebody else's strengths is for your weakness. Follow me?
Yeah.
Every one of you have weaknesses. Every one of you gets slapped in the face. Every one of you have the opportunity to define who you are by how you respond with what's going on in your life. So don't rally around your weaknesses. Don't lay down and boo-hoo, oh, my life. I'm so weak. I don't have this. I don't have that. I wasn't allowed to do this. I couldn't do that. I didn't have the freedom here. Really? Don't worry about all that. Don't wallow in the weakness. Don't take during that time Satan's cheap solution he has for you for whatever your weakness is, because he's there.
Yeah.
He's there. I guarantee you he's there. Don't take his cheap answer to your problem that he's provided. You know, that's one of the tactics of the wicked and governments and all kinds of things, is create a problem so we can provide you a solution. And in the process, you lose strength and freedoms, and they get stronger. That's Satan's tactics. So don't wallow in the weakness and the cheap solutions that Satan gives you. But rally around the strength that you have to help others. Right? God will use your strength to help others' weaknesses. You cover your weaknesses, as Brother Brim said. You cover that by prayer. Satan's got a punch coming at you. He knows exactly what that weakness is, and he's going to punch at you with some solution that he wants to offer you to cover that weakness. And in doing that, when you accept that, there's death tied to it. Death, and slow desensitizing, and you don't even realize how bad it's taking you. As sin takes you further than you want to go, keeps you here longer than you want to stay, costs you more than you want to pay. So rally around your strengths. You keep those things covered in prayer, and by keeping it covered in prayer, not accepting Satan's cheap invitation. And while you do that, God will speak to another member of the body, and their strength will come and help you. Amen? Their strength will come and help you. God will send someone to cover your weaknesses. And this is what the scripture is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there and read chapter 4, verse 9. Speaking of the body, read a few verses here before we finally get to the meat of what I'm wanting to say. Talking about Jesus ascending up, and what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. He gave a fivefold ministry. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to the perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we, each one of us, the body, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Look at all that. No longer children, because children can't fight well. Right? Talk about maturity here. But speaking the truth in love, which is what I'm doing this morning, speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But here's what I want you to look at. From whom, because we're all members, right, of the body of Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's a mouthful. But what it's basically saying is that one member supplies the needs of another, and that member supplies the needs of another. And because the strength of one member can supply the lacking of another, and we're all doing that, and the whole entire body is edifying itself, and it's all in love. Labors of love. That we live for each other. If we live our lives to ourselves, all about me, you're not being fulfilled. You haven't even experienced joys that you have in the Lord if you live to yourself. That's what that scripture is talking about. Because we belong to a body and we edify one another. And it's not about me living for me or you living for you. It's about each one of us living for each other. The attitude, I seen this quote the other day. The way you treat people is your attitude toward God. Think about that. The way you treat people is your attitude toward God. So we all belong to the body of Christ, and you have a position of power in that body that no one else can act out and do. Amen. And so, give your strengths to God and your weaknesses and let him take care of it all. Because he knows, you don't know, you have no clue how God wants to make you an overcomer, how he's going to make you an overcomer of weaknesses in your life. But as long as you don't surrender to him, as long as you don't make yourself enter into the fellowship of his suffering and of this Christian walk, you'll never gain that victory. You're always looking for some other way, always continuing on what Satan wants to give you and thinking that that's going to help and change, and it's not. You think, oh, I'll get better one of these days. I'll be stronger. One of these days I'll make up my mind. No. You're not going to do it in yourself. Until you surrender to the one who can help you, you're not going to overcome. I know it sounds harsh, you know, but I hope you understand this is uplifting to know that there's one way, and it's Christ. Christ Jesus. And so... So our lives will never change until we make up our mind to let Jesus be the captain of our ship. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. My meat. You know, his disciples had went away to get food.
Yeah.
He talked to the woman at the well. You remember the story. And when they came back with food. And there's the master, we got this food we can eat now. And he said, I have meat that you don't know about.
Yeah.
I've already been eaten.
Yeah.
I've already been strengthened.
Yeah.
I've already been edified. Yeah. Right? Because my edification, a greater level of edification, a greater level of strength, a greater level of satisfaction in life is when you do the will of God. And it supersedes anything that you could ever experience with a plate of beans and taters. Any kind of physical thing, any kind of physical action, experience, doing the will of God provides a meat, a spiritual meat, a strength inside you that supersedes anything else outward.
Yeah.
Take the greatest experience. We just went almost 2 weeks and saw some of the great sights that I've wanted to see ever since I could ever saw pictures of them. And none of that comes anywhere close to what you can experience in the meat of God. And Jesus said, his meat was to do the will of him that sent me, in him.
Right.
And we're the same. Do you think it doesn't feel good when somebody comes up and says, Brother Tony, I appreciate that message. You think it doesn't feel good? It feels awesome. Right? Some guy told Brother Branham one time, oh, praise God, I don't want nobody telling me. And Brother Branham said, well, you know what? There's a difference between the two of us. He said, I don't want somebody telling me that was a good sermon. Well, Brother Branham said, I like that. The difference is I'm honest and you're not.
That's right.
Because that man enjoyed it too. He just liked.
That's right.
Because it feels really good to know that God has been able to speak through you and help someone. You think it doesn't feel good when you come and you help somebody change a flat, help somebody move in, buy somebody a meal, pray the prayer of faith for somebody and see God heal them?
Yeah.
You think it doesn't feel good? I'm saying this because there are tremendous benefits walking as a Christian.
Amen.
That does things in you that the world can't touch.
Right.
No bottle, no cigarette, no woman
right. Can
touch it. If you've never tasted of that, you don't know what I'm talking about. But brother, sister, when you taste of the Lord, you'll see he's good. You'll say, you know what? The rest of it's trash. The Lord is good.
Yeah.
It feels great. When I'm tired and I'm sleepy, I'm lack of sleep, but I get up and pray and the Lord begins to speak, it supersedes the weakness in the flesh,
amen,
the tiredness. Supersedes it. When I don't know what to preach, and I look to the Lord, and he opens up a channel of inspiration and gives me something, and I can try and go everywhere else, and it all goes right back to that one, and next thing you know, all kinds of channels are opening up of the same thing.
Yeah.
It feels great to know that God can help others through me. God can help others through you. The things, as I said a while ago, the things of life don't define you, but the way you respond to them is what defines you, tells where you're at. If you lay down and just boo-hoo at all the hardships, then you know something's wrong. Because you need natural typing spiritual. It's those that are the strongest that survive, the ones that get up, not the ones that just lay down. They get up and they fight and overcome. Take an animal out in the woods, some wolf trying to attack it or something, it don't survive by just standing there. Has to run, has to fight. And you may say, Brother Tony, you don't know what's happened to me in my life. But you know what? As I've said, we all have obstacles to overcome. Don't you think that physical abuse as a child who's being physically abused, don't you think that would create obstacles in their life that's going to affect them and that they're going to have to overcome later? Don't you think that sexual abuse of a child, whether it's by opposite sex or same sex, that sexual abuse, you think that doesn't create something in that life of that child that they're going to have to deal with later on? Because later on, when they want to be married, that's going to be there, and they're going to have to overcome that. Otherwise, it's going to affect their marriage and everything else. You think that that's not a hideous thing that Satan doesn't put in your life to try and mess you up? And it's all over the place. You know, for me, I had really big ears. And living with my grandparents, there wasn't no such thing as having long hair. They would cut their hair off really short, really high, so them ears would stick out even more. And I went to school in North Little Rock. Silvan Hills, well, actually it was bused over toward Jacksonville to another school when I was in grade school. But they called me Monk there at that school because of my ears. And when I got to leave there and come back and live with Grandma for a while, I got here, and guess what they called me? Monk. And it's okay, you can smile, it's fine. But you know what that did to a kid? I had hand-me-downs for clothes. I couldn't wear the nice name-brand stuff that everybody else had. Mary's shaking her head, she knows. The bus that I rode had to go a circle, and it was like, I don't know, hour and 20 minutes, something like that. It would park at Rudy, and it would go up, and you'd have to get on the bus an hour and 20 minutes earlier to get a seat, and by the time it come all the way back around, there wasn't a seat. And I had to stand in the aisle, and the bus taking off, and everybody shoving and pushing. Does that sound like fun? Could never fit in. Lied to, lied about, pushed down, made fun of, told you'll never succeed in life by people very close to me. I couldn't read well when I was in fifth grade. I was reading on the second grade level. And you say, Brother Tony, you're still reading on that level. No. I was shy. When I went to work, I was in high school and I worked at a grocery store. The manager said, you've got an inferiority complex. He was right. I was a wallflower. I still am. I'm not the life of a party. You think I don't have complexes? I have them. Right? I could never speak well. Didn't know my dad. Didn't know my heritage. I mean, I've had obstacles. And I don't brag about where I'm at because God has done what he has done. But I have all of these things I listed, I've experienced. And every one of them, I could have said, that buried me right there. Every one of those things, I could have just laid down and said, my life is terrible because this happened to me, you know, when I was a child. But I count them all as stepping stones. Amen. So I can stand here today and tell you what I'm telling you and know what I'm talking about. hardships don't stop overcomers.
That's right.
Amen. Don't you remember what Brother Branham said about the pond lily? The pond lily, way down in the bottom of the pond in the muck. You can imagine how filthy and how muddy and yucky it is down there. And that pond lily has to push its way through all of that. But when it finally pushes all the way up through, Brother Branham said, I don't think there's anything more beautiful than that pond lily, because when it finally pushes its way up on top, look at the beauty. But look what it had to go through to get there. Brother, sister, every one of you are pond lilies.
Amen.
And the Lord wants you to come through, and he wants you to blossom, because he wants to look and say, look at that. Look at the beauty, and look at what they had to overcome to get there. We're all pond lilies. So I want to ask you, how much longer are you going to let Satan give you a cheap invitation instead of accepting what God has really provided? You'll never find it in anything else outside of God. It won't. Your trials and your weaknesses and all of those things won't go away by themselves. You're not going to decide one day, I'm going to be a better in yourself. You're not going to do that. Your decision is to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. start following that still small voice in you that tells you God wants something greater for your life than what you've been letting Satan throw at you.
Amen.
And that voice is there. And you might be doing things you know is wrong, but that voice is there. And you got to start following it. And I'll say that no matter how much others pray for you, no matter how, and people do, we pray for each one another, and we're rooting for one another, and our young people and all the different things. We are praying. But no matter how much they pray, that prayer cannot be answered until it comes through you saying, yes, Lord, I'll accept your call. I will enter into the fellowship of your suffering. Because the scripture says, if you suffer with him, then you will reign with him. But if you don't, if you deny him, he will deny you. Right? So, people can pray for you, and we do. But you've got to make a decision. You've got to come to the place where you realize you can't change it yourself. And so today, make your decision to follow Christ. You're not going to just do it yourself. Nail it down. You know, if you've done things and your life is a mess, if you continue to do those same things, it's going to continue to be a mess. Right? So you want to give God a chance. So today, nail it down. And Brother Ben said it this way. You got to clench a nail to make it hold. How many has ever been nailing and you'd hit a nail there and it didn't take and it's ricochet or fall off or whatever? You've got to set it really good so it stays so that you can hammer it the rest of the way. And so if you don't fasten something really good, it's going to fall out. It's going to be pulled out. It's not going to work. So in the past, you've heard sermons and you've said, oh, you know, yeah, Lord, you maybe just barely tap the nail. Why not set it deep? Why not make a serious commitment to the Lord today? And do something that you know will make a difference in your life. Take something in your life that you're struggling with and really give it to the Lord. Drive it deep and see what he'll do with it. See, I say this because the time of just halfway, you know, it's over with. We are living in an extreme age. Natural and spiritual. Everything's with extreme because we're at that hour where it is extreme.
Right.
Super. Brother Ben said super this, super, super that. Everything's super, 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 super.
Yeah.
Because there's a super church. There's a super word that God has given that make overcomers in this day.
Right.
Jesus said, you forsake father, mother, sister, brother, if you have to do that, and you do, most of my family don't want to do it because of my religion belief. They don't, I mean, they still love me or whatever, but Jesus said, if you have to forsake your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, and I'll just, not to add to it, but just your job, whatever it is, if you have, because we are called out from these things, you have to separate from those things. But Jesus said, if you have to do that, and you separate from all those things, he said, I'm going to tell you something. In this life, you will receive a hundredfold of what you had to forsake.
Yeah.
And in the next life, eternal life to come, right? Let me break that down for you. If you'll give up this world and all your friends and all that worldly stuff, God's got a family for you that's a hundredfold stronger, hundredfold better, hundredfold bigger for you. A family that has weaknesses that needs your strength.
That's right.
That needs you. You've got something to put in to this body of Christ. Stop running from it. Embrace the fellowship of what it means to be a Christian. Line up with this thing and receive the blessings of God. When you start pouring out your life for others, you'll receive things that you know not. Because that's what it means to be a Christian. A family of God that you can receive that's a hundredfold. Maybe it's not 100 times more than what you had to forsake. But brother, the fellowship and the blessing and the reciprocation you have with your church family is many, many times. Hundredfold more than you could ever have. Why? Because the fellowship you have out there is in sin and filth, dirty jokes and all that kind of stuff, and drinking and defiling your bodies.
Yeah.
But what you have, the fellowship you have with believers, is clean, pure, undefiled, marching design. Amen. May the Lord bless you. And let the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. As your people meditate now and think about the things they've heard just now, ask of Lord that you just let your Holy Spirit just woo, brood over them, Lord. Draw them to yourself. Take the words that I have said that maybe they didn't understand or it was all chopped up, Lord, that you make them clear. I know you can do it. I pray, God, that you would show them that there is a strength in you and a strength in the fellowship of your kingdom that's beyond anything this world could ever give. Lord, I've said and done all that I can do now as a minister. Now it's in your hands, great Holy Spirit, just to seal this away into the hearts of your people. We're just committed to you now, Lord. Pray that you just speak to your people, Lord. Ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
said at the beginning, hear what the Lord is saying. Don't just walk away from it. He's laid it out there on the table. You reach over and you pick it up and you put it in your pocket and you take it with you. But if you're not careful, you'll walk out and not take advantage of what He's laid there before you this morning. This is worship. Greatness.